Welcome back to the Retail Maverick Show Uncut with your host, Andrew Busby. And this episode is actually sponsored by Benelin. So forgive if you hear coughing throughout this, because I have been suffering a little bit. So thanks to Benelin. But no, actually, this is the first episode with our new sponsors, The Industrious. So a quick word from The Industrious. We elevate brands using the transformative power of design and technology. So thanks so much to them. But enough of that now, because I really want to introduce our guest. This is going to be an amazing, as regular listeners will know, it's 15 minutes, but it's going to be an absolutely amazing 15 minutes, because I have with me none other than Oliver Banks. Oliver, welcome.
Hey, Andrew. Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you. So we are coming, maybe a bit of background noise, but here on the Retail Maverick Show, we don't care about that. We're actually in London at the Park Plaza, because Oliver and I are here for the Retail Week Live and Grocer Show. We're here on day two, but not going to be talking about that, because actually, Oliver, I understand you've brought a book out. Now, it's a fascinating title. I thought that Kama Sutra for the Farmyard was a real... I've got the wrong one, haven't I? I knew I'd get that. I knew I'd get that wrong. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm coming on to that. No, in all seriousness, tell us about the new book. What, first of all, what's it called?
So the actual title, not the working title, it's called Driving Retail Transformation.
Yep.
How to Navigate Disruption and Change. And really, it's a guide for retail leaders as to how do you go about transformation?
Right. Yeah. And this came out very recently, I understand.
Last week. So hot off the press, quite literally. Yep. It's had fantastic reception so far. Starting to get initial reviews through, which is just wonderful to read people's perceptions. Loving seeing it out in the wild as people receiving it from Amazon and coming up to me at the show here today, saying that they're part way through it. So that's just wonderful, as you must know, as a fellow author.
Well, yes, I author what I call fun books. Well, no, the previous one wasn't so much, but the mine that's coming out shortly is. But we won't talk about that on this particular one, because we want to talk about yours. And so you talk about retail transformation and change. Now, of course, you've been there and done it, haven't you? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, certainly. So... a long time ago, I was in engineering, but actually I then moved into the world of Tesco, which I'm sure everyone can recognize is an enormous world. Back when it was branching out into lots of different areas, into cafes, restaurants, and so on. And I spent a number of years there working around their supply chain division, their store operations division, and then in their internal consulting function. Really, as you say, driving transformation there, with huge amounts of changes, everything from looking at disruption, looking at new people, shifts and transformations, looking at e-commerce, stores, distribution centers. It was a fantastic experience and a fantastic, I suppose, introduction into the world of retail transformation for me, which has then exploded over the past 9 years since I left Tesco.
So give us, because I know it covers an awful lot in the book, but give us a flavor of it. So if somebody was going out to buy it, which I hope they do, and we'll come at the end of this, we'll make sure that we tell people where they can go to buy it. But tell us a little bit about what they can expect from the book, because I know that having seen a copy of it myself, I know that you cover an awful lot of ground in it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we just step back for a moment and we recognize that the change in retail is enormous, right? There are so many different aspects, and we spend a lot of time talking about the what of how retail is changing. You know, we're talking about omnichannel or, you know, Gen Z, whatever it is. But we all recognize that retailers must change in and by themselves, change propositions, change operating models, change business models even. And yet, whilst we're all talking about that, saying we're going to change is a lot easier than actually changing. And so what I wanted to do was put into a place, a framework, to help encourage and guide people through that process. And the framework I use in the book is the Retail Transformation Steering Wheel, which I suppose is born out of a recognition that, you know, you'll have heard the phrase, measure what matters.
Yep.
And also, what gets measured gets managed. And we're in a place where we're saying transformation matters, so we should measure it. But when we think about measuring transformation and therefore managing transformation, we tend not to actually do anything. We may look at the outputs, we may look at some aspects of measurement, you know, measuring velocity. But as we're driving down a road, to use the metaphor, which we can explore in a little bit, because you're a driving fan as well, so we can go to town on that. But as we're driving down the road, we wouldn't just drive using velocity or speed, right? You couldn't do that. You'd end up in the ditch in no time at all. So actually, how do you steer through all of the different challenges and obstacles and roadblocks that you'd find along the way to ultimately reach your destination? I very much view transformation as a journey. So where are we trying to get to, and how are we going to adjust along that particular journey rather than just, you know, mapping out an A to B and just relentlessly
going. Do you think that journey, using that that example, do you think the journey has an end or is never ending because you're always going through change?
So I think both. I think it's important to recognize at some stages you get to a checkpoint where it's useful to stop and think, we've achieved some fantastic progress, right? We have moved the business, we've moved the needle, but also recognizing that the world continues to evolve around us. Mm-hmm. So we continue to go on more journeys. And I think it's also important to recognize that if you, let's say you sit down and you say, here's where we'd like to get to, and it's going to take us 6 months, 12 months, a year, 2 years, or whatever, actually, by the time you get there, you may have needed to shift or push that destination on a little bit further, because we can't sit in a static world, right?
Going back to what you said about the measuring matters and so on and so forth, and that often isn't the, when it comes to transformation. Do you think that's because I've seen this, you know, in my days, both working in a retail business at Kingfisher, but also after that, where a project that it was all, I remember back in the day, as it were, it was all about benefits realization. But that actually never happened, because the benefits maybe 12, 18 months down the line. And then who's going to realize those benefits? It's certainly not the IT team who typically would have implemented this. And I know that your book doesn't talk about IT projects. It talks about the business transformation. Mm. But to use that as an example, the IT team moved on to something else. So, but that measurement of how, because we know that project up front, when it was sold and it was signed off by the CFO or whoever,
absolutely,
would have had benefits in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give us your take on that.
So I think it's crucially important to be realizing the impact that you're having. And yeah, you're absolutely right. How many change programs have had massive capital signed off for this benefit, that benefit? You know, it sounds like a wonderful world that we're painting. But then, you know, as things come to realization, we lose track of that. We get distracted by the next shiny object. Or we look and we say, we can't prove it one way or another. I think those are really challenging elements, because suddenly, if our goal is not achieved, what was the point in all of the effort and the investment in time, money, headspace? What was that all for? So I think it's crucial to, A, recognize the benefits as it delivers, but B, continually reassess. You know, we often take a fag packet calculation at the early days, right? And suddenly an exec gets hold of, let's say, a benefit number, and you're tied to that, right? How many times have we heard the phrase, overpromise, right? And then we know the next part of that phrase as well. And I think it's very easy to someone hears, oh, £10 million profit benefit, whatever. Suddenly that number is now written in stone, and that's really difficult to undo. If you suddenly recognize, actually, oh, by the way, for that £10 million, we also need to pay for £5 million of additional on cost in the process, because that's what a given change requires. We've got to be open and have that discussion. And I think if we don't embark on those honest discussions, say, we thought it was 10 right at the beginning, but actually now that we're here, it's not.
Mm.
It's much better to have that conversation up front. And if that means, hey, do you know what? This isn't the right journey for us to go on, because there's a more exciting journey to go on, a more important destination to reach, then it's 100 times worth it to shift and to head on to your new destination, rather than continuing to pursue that that unachievable target.
Now I'm as we're recording this on Day to Rita Week Live, I'm jumping on a plane tomorrow to go out to Las Vegas for Shop Talk, but that's got me in mind of what they would do if it's US. They'd say, now I want to, Ollie, I want to now shift gears with you a little bit. I want to lean back into something. What I wanted to actually get your thoughts on, because we've got 4 minutes left. What I want to get your thoughts on is more the more general transformation, why this book is important for the audience. And what I mean by those, give an example, but we're not pointing the finger. We're just using example, The Body Shop. I think the demise, the administration of any retailer is incredibly sad.
But 100%.
That, in my view, and you might want to pick another, but that seemed to be an example of a retail business that didn't change and transform, and kind of therefore lost its way, lost its sense of relevance and so forth.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on that type of, you know, transformation and change in a retail business.
So there are loads of case studies, right, of companies that are similar in that route. They were once fantastic companies, they've lost their way. And really that's about understanding what is required in terms of transformation for any given company at any given time. Because if you're a huge company and you're flying, it's easy to think about, oh, we're going to just focus on optimizing our current ways of working, our current business, our current operating model. But actually, there are elements there where you need to be more expansive in your types of transformation. You maybe need to think about more disruptive types, moving into different business models. And that's the time to do it when you're flying, right? Rather than when you get to a place that your back is up against the wall. And if you haven't got that head start on the journey, you haven't been experimenting and exploring new options, then suddenly you find yourself in a tough situation and you're needing to make harsh choices, ultimately, harsh decisions, where there's a narrow room for success, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm taking from that, which I think is really fascinating, but also incredibly useful, is change whilst you're flying, not whilst you're plummeting towards the ground.
Absolutely. Whilst you've got opportunity for failure, I suppose, and learning, most importantly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we've got a minute left. Tell us where people can get the book, and just tell us the name of it again. So Driving Retail Transformation.
Yeah, so Driving Retail Transformation, it's out now. It's available in all good bookstores. So wherever you like to buy your books, whether that's Amazon or any of the other normal bookstores, they don't have it on the shelf, then you can ask for it and order it in.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. Oliver, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure.